I've known you for a fairly long time as an advocate for early childhood. So I wondered what made you decide to make that leap into becoming a candidate and wanting to join the legislature?
Well, you know, my dad was active in local politics, was a city councilor and my vice mayor in Pomona, California, where I grew up. And so we've always had big conversations around the dinner table about politics when I was growing up. So I grew up in a real political family. I had, you know, 9 brothers and sisters. I went to Washington after college. I worked as a legislative assistant. I helped a guy get elected to Congress. He hired me. I was in the district office. I went to D.C. I was a legislative assistant. Then I worked for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. So I came back to New Mexico in 1990, but I've always been a political activist.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I was active at the state level here more than the local level. And, you know, I would do fundraisers for candidates like Bill Richardson and Diane Dennish. And I kept a little finger in politics, but I was not happy with what Debbie Rodella was doing to serve the people of the North. I really wasn't. And frankly, I asked people, a lot of people, who were younger, smarter, and better looking than me, and I didn't think that was much of a stretch. And,
you mean you asked them to run, or you asked their opinion?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I would go to good people and say, you should go for this. And nobody would do it. And I finally decided I'm not going to let her run unopposed. You know, in 25 years, she's had one person that went against her, and they lost by 45 votes 10 years ago. It was Moises Morales. And I said, I'm going in. You know, I'm retired. I have the time. Frankly, I was a little tired of sitting on the couch and yelling at the TV. And I said, you know, if we're going to change things in this country, we have to change it at all levels. We have to change it at the school board, at the city council, at the state legislature, at Congress. We just have to do an about face in this country. And I just decided to go in, and that's really what it was about. And I was looking, you know, upstream, 2 years down the road. I think you're going to need strong Democratic state legislatures that are going to be making hard decisions in this country, and I would like to be part of that movement.
Let's step back a minute and talk about your involvement with the Los Alamos Foundation and with the home visiting program.
Sure.
I know it's hard to do that briefly, but let's just tell people where you're coming from in New Mexico.
Sure. I was the director of the Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation. We gave out about $3 million a year to schools in the North. We raised the money to build the endowment. So I was there for 17 years as the founding director. So, you know, and today I think that endowment is about $85 million.
That's great.
And we gave out over $50 million while I was there. So we, you know, constantly giving out about $3 million a year. I had a board member who came on the board. His name was George Kellen. He's this wonderful man. He was a scientist at the laboratory. He started the Santa Fe Institute. I mean, he won the Fermi Prize, which for people who don't know in energy, that's like winning the Academy Award, okay? He was this wonderful, kind of quiet guy, but really a fun guy, you know. And I didn't even know him, right, when he started. People said, George is coming on the board, so I knew there was a buzz. And he is this little guy, and he came up to me, and he looked me in the face the first meeting I met him, and he said, I'm not coming on your board unless you do something for 0 to 3.
Oh, and wow, I said, how interesting.
I know. I said, well, okay. And turns out he had put the first 20, it was either 10 or 20 million, I should know this, but to study infant brain development, I would say back in the early 80s, or maybe early 70s, because all of this research started coming out in the 80s, right, about brain development. And, you know, and so I had to learn this stuff. And we did as a board and as a group of people, and I learned that, you know, we talk about pre-K programs, we talk about all-day kindergarten, but really the most important learning happens in prenatal to 3. The most important learning and brain development in your life is 0 to 3. If you don't do that right, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good a pre-K program is, right? If certain things don't happen by a certain age, at the beginning of life, and as an infant, it will be hard to remedy that.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so, you know, the more I learned, the more I became convinced. I didn't know what to do. I called a meeting of all the nonprofits working in early education, and I said, what should I do? And they said, oh, Susan, you need to do home visiting. And I said, I was not an early adopter. I said, oh, my God, can we be more invasive? Now we're going to go into people's homes. And they said, oh, Susan, you don't even know what you're talking about. Just get out there and study it. I said, all right, I'll do it. And I went out and I talked to people and I went to see home visiting programs, and I found this really wonderful, amazing program in Silver City called the Firstborn Program.
Yes, which
Vicki
was
Johnson
already
founded it. Yeah.
It was already
fast
in
forward. Yeah, we did that. We brought it in. I raised I raised 500,000 from local family foundations over 5 years. They would give me $20,000 a year for 5 years. So each of them gave $100,000. I went to my board and I said, okay, they did that. Now you have to match that. And my board did. And then I went to the state legislature when Bill Richardson was in, and it was Republican Jeanette Wallace and Democrat Nick Salazar that helped me. And I said to the state, okay, you guys match us, and we can do 3 pilot projects and a study in a 3-year period, and we did Rio Riba, Los Alamos, and Santa Fe because we wanted to see how it would look in a wealthy community, a middle class, and a poor community. Would it work in all 3 of those places?
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the money to hire the RAND Corporation to do the evaluation. And fast forward about 12 years, there is now a $22 million funding stream at the state for home visiting. I think we can improve it, but that's the story of early education and how I got involved.
Wow, that's exciting. When you decided to run, you had retired from that, from the Los Alamos Board?
I've been retired for 3 years.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I've been retired for 3 years, and so I'm kind of a free agent. It's kind of nice.
I don't
have to work. I don't have to check with anybody. I just decide what I'm going to do and do it.
Okay, so this was an area that you were used to working. So was it hard to decide to move into it, or do you just feel as though you're comfortable with all the people? I'm talking about the legislative realm now.
Oh yeah, I go to the legislature when I believe in things that need to be passed, and I lobby and I talk to legislators. And since I come from a political background, you know, I understand the importance of involving legislators in the work that you're doing. So if we would do a teachers conference for 500 teachers in the North, I would always invite my local legislators to come, including Debbie Rodell and Richard Martinez and Nick Salazar and Jeanette Wallace. They would come and be part of that seminar with the people that they were serving. You know, you can only do so much as a foundation. When you need to scale up on a public level, you're going to have to scale up to really do home visiting statewide. It would cost you about $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
We're at 22. So I, when I think about things, I think about scaling up and doing it for every family in the state. I don't think about, well, just take care of my own.
I've always
thought about programs like, when you do work for the public good, how do you include the public and make it work for everybody?
When you talked about your deciding to run because you were mad at the way things were going and mm-hmm. dissatisfied, are you talking in terms of early childhood, or are you talking in terms of other issues?
I'm talking in terms of the whole state and all the issues, really.
Okay,
you
what?
You know, I think our revenue stream needs to be corrected. You know, we need to really look at personal income tax, the gross receipts, and the permanent fund. We need to revamp and rehaul those programs so that we have a better permanent stream instead of waiting to see what the gas and oil prices are every year. We need to kind of stabilize regular funding. We need to help our middle-class state workers that are so vital to this state, our young sheriffs and our firefighters and our teachers. You know, we need to really look at those incomes and see how we give them a better salary, right? I mean, like these young sheriffs out working, making, you know, $15 an hour and risking their lives, really.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. And that's the kind of money you want to spend as a state, because that money goes right back into that local economy. You know, nobody's buying futures with that money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're spending it in the state, they're buying homes, they're stabilizing a community. It wasn't about early childhood. Early childhood is one of the issues, but it is not the issue I'm campaigning on. I'm campaigning about good jobs for working families in the North, you know, jobs with benefits that you can build a life on and build a family on. That's what we need.
Okay. You talk about the working for the Los Alamos Foundation, but you don't live in Los Alamos, right?
No, I live in Embuto. I've lived here. I've lived in this house for 26 years.
Okay. And what kind of reception are you getting? What are you finding from people?
I think the campaign is doing well. You never know. It's an interesting job. I have a campaign plan. We did the campaign plan the third week of January. I knew I had to raise $50,000. I knew I had to do, I had to do so many things and lay it out. And we've kind of accomplished all the goals that we set up. But it's a little interesting. You can lay out a campaign plan, but you really do work in the dark until that last day when the vote comes in.
That's right. It's not as though we have a lot of polling and things like that in these state races.
Well, and I can't afford it. You know, to do a poll would cost $4,000. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd rather put that money into boots on the ground, as they say.
Well, I have to say that when I contacted you to ask for this interview, I got a very nice response from someone in your campaign, and a prompt and well-organized response, and that was nice to have that happen.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do. You have to have, and it's hard. You have to have a bit of a campaign staff. I couldn't hire everybody full-time. Everybody's part-time, and, retired or part-time pros and working moms. But that's what we do, and that's how you do it. And again, I'm not Hillary Clinton. we're a small state race. So you just have to build up the grassroots level, one community at a time, really.
Mm-hmm. And
my district is the size of Connecticut.
Oh.
I don't think a lot of people understand that.
No, I don't think so.
It goes from the border of Rio Riba and Santa Fe County all the way up to the Colorado border.
We don't have a lot of running against incumbents in New Mexico, and so I wondered what your reception has been from the party and from people, other legislators and things.
I knew the party wouldn't back me. They can't. I get it. I grew up in the Democratic Party. I know it. When you're incumbent, you're going to take them on, and you have to take them on, and you have to make a case for yourself and why you would be a better Democrat than the Democrat that is in office. And so I didn't expect the Democratic Party to back me, and they haven't. And that's fine. I knew that going in. I know this game. Not my first rodeo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
So
what you have to do is build your own base. That's what you have to do when you're running against an incumbent, and we've done that.
It sounds like you don't have a lot of surprises in terms of the campaign.
You never know. You never know what's going to hit. So far, every time Debbie's tried to attack me, I've deflected it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And campaigning is kind of fun. It's kind of interesting in a way. You end up doing things you're told not to do. You're told not to brag about yourself, right? You brag about yourself. You're told not to cast aspersions on other people. You're taught that. And then you have to do that. You have to point out differences between you. You try to do it in a fair way, and I've tried to do that. And that's what you have to do.
You mean you sort of go against your upbringing? Is that
yes,
what you mean?
Oh, okay. Yes. In many ways you do. But I've learned you better speak out when people tell lies. You better speak out. So because we only know what we know. People only know what they know. So if you don't give the other side of the story, you can't assume that they'll know. You've got to speak out, and you've got to stand up.
And have you gotten support from your family and friends?
Oh, my God, yeah. All of my money has come from family and friends. All of Debbie's money has come from, lobbyists and corporate PACs. And I have to tell you this story because I'm so proud of it. I had 9 brothers and 1 sister, and now we are 8. And they're all coming out the last week of the campaign to help me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm really, really proud of that, that, you know, as adults, we've been able to keep our relationships. And as we get older, I think we get a little sweeter with each other. You know, we're kind of out of that competitive mode that we were all in our 20s and 30s. And now we're just kind of in a supporting mode. And that's really been wonderful. My kids, my husband is my best supporter. You know, when things have been tough, and I go, I don't know if I can do this anymore. You know, and he'll say, babe, you've got this. Keep doing what you're doing. So that's been a constant refrain in this household, and I'm very appreciative of the family and friends that I have.
So they're supportive or proud of you rather than thinking that you're crazy.
Yeah. Well, I told him I thought I was a little crazy to do this, but I was going to do it anyhow.
Okay.
And
so you got rid of that first.
Yeah, they are proud of me. They are proud of me.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing with us what's happening and how you made your decision. It's interesting, the going against your upbringing, I sort of like that idea, that concept, because I think that's what women especially have to do when they're running.
Yes, yes, you do. But you do have to stand up and fight, you know. But, you know, that's what my eight brothers taught me how to do, too, so I'm very grateful for that.
Okay. Well, we wish you luck. Thanks
thank
for being
so
with
much.
Us.
Thank you so much. And thanks for the interview. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.